T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Four!
Dusty and Cam.
We grinded like there's no tomorrow, made putts.
This is U.S. Open Week with Dusty, keep the cart girl busy, Hera, and Cam, big stick, Cleland.
Give me the lumber.
The Fans U.S. Open Week.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
No mulligan.
The Fan.
Good morning and happy Wednesday to you. Hump day in the Rose City. How are you doing this morning? How you doing this morning?
You talking to me?
No, I'm not.
You talking to me.
Talking to everybody else
out
there.
I'm the only one here. You talking to me?
Yeah. You know.
You see Robert De Niro? Remember him?
Yeah, I do remember Robert De Niro. Yes.
No. Do you remember? See him go BS crazy?
Yeah, he went off on the old Presidente.
Oh, the Presidente.
Yeah.
He went a little nutso.
Yes, he did.
No matter what happens. No matter what happens when you age, you just don't give.
Don't give a rip.
You don't give two shakes anymore.
Who cares what anybody else thinks?
Just when I'm old, there is a point in life. I'm trying to figure out what that number is, that age number.
5.
No, I think it's, here's what I think it is. I think it's the 70s. I think once you hit the 70,
okay,
you turn into, you know what? I'm on the tail end. Maybe you're on the tail end. You just, I don't care.
I can't wait to get to that point. My dad would be, I guess, early on that learning curve, because he hasn't given a rip for probably about 10 years now. And he's in his...
Oh, I'm just arbitrarily, I just threw out a number. I would just go, what number would you say?
My dad is 67. So
he's young.
He's been at this for a while. So he's ahead of your 70 curve.
But there's
you're onto something there. I'd say it's probably about 65, retirement age.
Well, there's 65. There's a difference between being publicly don't give a rip, and then you just don't give a rip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the Robert De Niro exactly was like, "Woo, I'm just don't gonna care anymore. Nope. Not gonna care. Gonna let you know."
Yeah, he's made his money. He's good. So I think it's at that retirement age where you're comfortable enough to where it doesn't. You could publicly say whatever you want, and your life isn't changing.
Yes.
You know,
it's not gonna affect your career earnings anymore.
Right. And so
you're not worried about your Twitter followers following.
So whatever age it is that you decide to retire, you just don't care.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad we settled that this morning.
I'm staring off in space because I'm wondering, have I reached that already? Certainly not at retirement age. No. Right in the middle, man.
Yeah. Well, just pretend that you're there.
I'll tell you right now.
Consequences be damned.
The 40s are a heck of a lot better than the 30s.
Oh. Right. Gosh. Because your kids are older.
Yeah. You know, everybody's different perspective, different strokes. Somebody loves the 20s. 30s are just full of life changes and diapers and... Ugh. 4s are good.
That's true.
We give it to you. You got stuff to look forward to.
Yeah.
I'll give you thumbs up there.
You know, when you were giving your little mafia thing, it reminded me of, since I've now taken up running, I've listened to podcasts on my run.
Good.
I'm listening to one, it's an old one, but it's called Crime Town. It's about Providence, Rhode Island, the season one, and the corruption in the mafia there.
Yeah.
Every single person that they interview sounds exactly like that. Well, you talking to me? This guy's like,
Who you talking to?
They unloaded the whole clip on me. They just sat there and they kept shooting. All of them had like the gravelly, raspy voices.
Yeah, they're like 10 cigars down.
And it is the wildest stories.
They seem like actors and they're not with all the accents. I listened to it a few months ago and it's great.
It is everything that
Everybody's name is Bugs.
No, the mayor, who is a corrupt mobster mayor of Providence, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
His name was Buddy Cianci.
Buddy. Hey, it was Buddy here.
He was convicted of a felony.
What you got?
He was convicted of a felony, went away for 4 years, and then was reelected mayor.
Yeah.
After committing felonies.
That's how we're loyal.
Like, make sure we take care of that. It was bananas.
Get the concrete out.
Yeah, it's right.
Get that concrete out.
Concrete boots. It's amazing, though, to hear how corrupt it is. And everybody sounds like the mobsters in the movies. Like,
good.
You sit there and you go, like, Goodfellas, that's not real. You know, it's all kind of built up a little bit, and it's been Hollywood has made it better. No, some of the real stories are actually better than the Hollywood stories.
I'm telling you right now, we're going mobs. We're going to go deep and dive into that.
You want to?
No, but I'm going to tell you the greatest television series of all time is The Sopranos. Yeah. The greatest television series of all time. It set us all down the road of what it is. There's no other television series that set this entire... I mean, it created, in my mind, it created everything. It created Netflix stuff. It created all these things that
binge
we do.
Binge-watching.
Oh, my gosh. It did everything for us. Way before Arliss. I mean, I was excited for Arliss and HBO, but it was like the cameo. I was always like, oh, I got to... But you know you've arrived as a sports guy when you made it on Arliss.
Yeah.
Something about The Sopranos, man. It was...
I didn't like the ending, though.
Don't you just stop believing?
Just fading
with
to
Journey
black.
Journey and the finish?
Just fading to black.
Oh, they didn't fade to black. They cut to black, and everyone in America thought their cable went out.
Yeah.
It was genius.
It was like...
It was genius.
I wanted closure.
Cinematic genius, even though it wasn't cinema.
Yes, RJ.
TV-matic.
Yes, RJ.
Run for fun? What the hell kind of fun is that?
Miserable.
Right.
It's miserable.
Me and you, RJ. You know, we'll pace him in our golf cart with some beers.
I'm not right next to you. I'm not doing it. Don't pretend that you drink on a golf course.
I didn't say I was on a golf course. I said be on a golf cart.
Oh, just.
I didn't say anything about a golf course.
You guys would go away. You guys would just torch me on that thing. It'd be so unsteady.
Be on a little four wheeler. Spinning dirt on you. Dumping beer in front.
I just can't handle it.
Sounds legal, doesn't it?
It's not me. Yeah, it's legal. You can do whatever you want. Right. If you go far enough out in the country, you can do whatever.
I can drive my golf cart on the road. It's an EV, electric vehicle. It has signals. It has seat belts.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it have plates?
It does not have plates.
Yeah.
I need to get them.
Controversy here, as this texter says, ending ruined the whole series.
No, you're nuts. Crazy. Bad opinion.
And that's the thing. No, not a bad opinion.
It is a opinion, but it's my opinion.
It didn't ruin the entire series. That's a little strong.
That's right with you, Buck. Come on, that's a little extreme.
The entire series was great, but the ending, you were just like...
Well, what did you want? That's my thing. If you had an alternate ending, what would you have done?
Show me him either getting shot or show me... him getting away.
Or show me the guy walking up behind him with the gun. But we didn't see anything.
But it left it up for interpretation. That's the thing.
Is that what you want, though?
It's a choose your own adventure.
Five seasons or whatever it was?
I did. I mean, it was like 19.
I don't want to interpret it. Tell me what happened.
Yeah, it's choose your own adventure. Did he get shot? Did they move on? Did they kill the entire family in the pizza shop?
I want closure.
Well, that is closure.
No, it's not. Because now we're having this conversation. And it's still, I know why they did it. It's so we can still have this conversation, and The Sopranos ended a decade ago.
Thank you.
Right?
It's the greatest series ever.
But that doesn't mean that it was a series ending that I have to enjoy. I didn't like it. Give me that closure.
I'll give you a controversial hot take on both sides. I enjoyed The Sopranos ending and their series. I thought the Seinfeld last episode was terrible.
It was terrible.
So here we go. Two greatest television shows ever. Cinematically, not cinema.
It's
TV. Seinfeld's the greatest sitcom ever. Sopranos is the greatest series ever. Both ended, in your opinion, not very good.
Not very good. No, but you know what? It's hard to end something like Game of Thrones. People, you're a Game of Thrones guy.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with that.
When the final season ends next year, it is going to be a disappointment to a lot of people right at the beginning. Oh. So at the very end of the last episode of The Sopranos, you were like, that was exactly what I wanted.
No, it wasn't.
See, now your revisionist history here.
But I guess that's the point of it. I don't get what I want.
Yeah.
I didn't get what I wanted.
Was it Bob Dylan? No, yeah. Rolling Stones? Can't always get what you want? Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones.
Can't always get what you want.
Are they on formaldehyde?
They're still
touring. Do they drink formaldehyde?
They're still
pure.
They're still
pure formaldehyde?
Now, if one of the Rolling Stones died, do you think they could still just prop them up and play their instruments?
Like they could go Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, Weekend at Bernie's, that bad boy.
I don't think they'll ever die. I think they've sold their souls.
Marionette Puppet the drummer.
They've sold their souls to the devil.
Well,
Mick Jagger still having kids at 73. He just had his last kid.
How can you party like that and still be alive and produce children?
Formaldehyde. It's the only thing I can think of, is the pure
formaldehyde.
Yeah, it's a preservative.
All right.
Remember when they put the formaldehyde in the frogs in biology class? And you pull the frog out and you dissect it and do that? Did you have frogs or pigs?
We did frogs.
You did frogs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Biology.
Biology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sophomore year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Dissection.
Yep. I don't remember the formaldehyde, though.
Yeah, the smell is terrible.
All right, let's get it going. Hey, good morning, by the way. I hope you're enjoying your breakfast.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
Oh, everybody wants to kill LeBron James when he passes up the final shot. But on this date in 1997, Michael Jordan passed up the final shot as he kicked it over to Steve Kerr, who hit the game winner to clinch the Bulls' fifth title in 7 years.
He'll pass. Just courtesy pass. Now, remember, he had prior made a bigger shot.
Okay. So, LeBron does the same thing. I mean, LeBron will make, like, huge shots or a block.
Exactly.
And then come back down the other end, and because he doesn't take
but
the final
Michael
shot.
Jordan pushed off the game before to then give it to Steve Kerr the next game.
See, this is the thing that always gets me.
Ryan Russell. Oh, I didn't push it off.
You want to bash LeBron for not taking the final shot because the star takes the final shot. There's a lot of final shots LeBron didn't take. He also made a lot of great final shots, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, Steve Kerr knocked it down.
Steve Kerr.
Now he's just winning championships all over the place.
Got a lot of rings. How many rings does Steve Kerr have now? Total? Do you have seven?
I believe he has eight.
Eight.
Now.
Eight. That's right. It is eight.
He's got
three different teams.
Does that include his assistant coaching days with the Spurs? Because then he get one there too?
I don't know if he got one. Lot. I don't believe he.
As a coach of the Spurs?
No,
I don't think he got one as a coach of the Spurs.
Assistant?
As a player, he got one.
As a player, he got one. I don't believe. I think he had five as a player with the Spurs and Bulls, and then three with as the coach of the Warriors.
My gosh.
So he's still got to catch Bill Russell, though. Bill Russell has 11.
Hey, also on this date, 1991, opening round of the U.S. Open at Hazeltine. That one? In Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
A spectator was killed when he was struck by lightning. Wow.
Don't stand under a tree. It's awful.
Yeah. Opening round was today. Opening round for the U.S. Open is tomorrow at Shinnecock.
Mm-hmm.
We'll discuss a little bit of that. Plus, we've got to have team sports turn into individual sports. That is our textual relations today. Different spin on it, how dynasties come to an end. We got some NFL news and notes. Andrew Luck threw a football. The news slash NCAA is up to actually some good. They're usually up to no good. And then the one time Brett Favre invented an entire football play that has now changed the game. But where we start is where we never got to yesterday. Pete Carroll loves the new blood on his Seahawks roster. Was it a warning shot? To Earl Thomas, 614 on the Fan. A couple days ago, we talked about Earl Thomas and his choice to sit out mandatory minicamp and the Twitter note that he wrote to the 12s out there explaining that he wants what's his and he's not going to show up to what he believes he deserves. He's not going to show up to any Seahawks activities until he gets a new deal. On the heels of that, Albert Breer has taken over the Monday morning quarterback for Peter King at SI, and he sat down with Pete Carroll and had a little conversation, and it's pretty interesting that it comes the day after Earl Thomas drops his "I'm not coming in there until I get a new deal." But Carroll said to Breer, "I'm not saying I'm not more challenged this year than some other years, but I always feel like, man, this is my whole deal. Try to figure out how to recapture getting guys motivated every year," saying that it is actually easier for him to get his message through without Richard Sherman, Michael Bennett, Cliff Avril, Cam Chancellor, sitting in his meeting rooms. And am I reading into it a little bit too much, saying this kind of feels like it's a warning shot towards Earl Thomas when he says it's pretty plain to see that when guys have established themselves for 4, 5, 6 years at a spot, they've been really effective at what they do. It's hard to convince the next guy he's going to take their spot. And so it makes his job easier to coach these guys up.
Well, it's always been Pete Carroll's biggest bugaboo that you've used against him while at USC and then now with the Seahawks. The communication has always been, let's go, let's go, let's ride. Yay, you know, whatever, every day has a slogan, right? Tell the Truth Tuesday. Mm-hmm. What have you done for me Wednesday? I don't know what they're all called.
Competition
Tuesday. Or yeah. What? Tell me,
tell
whatever.
Tell the Truth Thursday, whatever, yeah.
Over time, you're going to get to a point where that stuff becomes Charlie Brown's teacher. No doubt that happens to all of us. I mean, anybody that's a parent, at some point in time when your kid hits 13 and 14, it's like, and they want to hear a different voice.
Yeah.
What do you do as a head coach or a business leader? Let's take sports because we're a sports show. So let's focus on that. You hear multiple things from coaches over and over again. I only got so many stories. You're going to hear me on this station. I'll give you multiple stories, but I might tell the story a couple times. All right? Those of you that are coming in, I might share that with you. Pete Carroll, you have 53 guys on the roster. You have a little bit of turnover, but your core, your big-time players, your guys that you've paid, the guys that have the egos, the guys that are the team leaders, they've heard it all. Mm-hmm. They've heard it all. And then it turns into noise. And then it starts turning into white noise. And then it turns into the mood where you go, oh, here we go again, Coach Carroll giving us the let's give it the hustle, the college try mentality. And that's when the cancer seeps in. And if we want to be fair, and I have to use the greatest franchise in the history of the NFL, what does Bill Belichick do? Listening to him is like listening to Eeyore. Mm-hmm. Those of us that know who Eeyore is.
Oh boy.
What happens when the noise starts to sound like that in New England? You're cut, you're gone, we're bringing in new recycle, except we keep Tom Brady, who he still badgers every day. Mm-hmm. But even at that point, you start to get worn out with it. So Pete Carroll's like, yeah, the injection of new youth, new identity, younger players, he works well with guys that have never heard that before. I would bet when you play for Coach Carroll, it's 4 years and you need a new turnover.
Well, and that's what, remember, Richard Sherman criticized Pete Carroll for that and said, you know, he's a college coach in that regard. And 12s got really upset at Richard Sherman, kind of that betrayal. But here you have Pete Carroll who's admitting exactly what Richard Sherman said. And nobody should have taken that as the wrong way, that Richard Sherman, Michael Bennett, Cliff Averill, Cam Chancellor, that message stopped becoming relevant to them. And Pete Carroll is admitting that right now. And if you're Earl Thomas and you're sitting there going, I want this raise, I'm going to get it from Seattle. Well, it doesn't sound like they're going to be willing to get that extension his way when he's sitting there and saying, without those guys, it's actually easier to get my message across. That doesn't take on-field into consideration at all, though.
Dusty, I truly believe that the core of the defense, especially the Legion of Boom, when it was Cam Chancellor, when it was Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas, and then whoever was playing right corner.
Brandon Browner, Maxwell, whoever.
That's what I'm saying. It's the three and whoever plays corner.
Yeah.
I believe that that core of guys, were so wrapped up in the mistake from the Super Bowl, never able to get over it.
Yeah.
Mentally. Never be able to get over it. And there's also reports about Russell Wilson and his ultimate rah-rah. So think about the two leaders in the building. Who are the two most recognizable leaders for the Seattle Seahawks? It is Pete Carroll and it is Russell Wilson, go Hawks. That is, I mean, if you look at Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, and Richard Sherman, those guys are not those guys. Mm-hmm. They are dudes that are like, we get after it, rough, I want my money, give me my stuff, I want that. We're tough guys. We're not. Russell Wilson is positive. Leadership. Always upbeat. Pete Carroll. Leadership. Positive. Always upbeat. It almost feels fake all the time. And those guys sometimes don't mix. They mix for a short period of time, but for long-term sustainability in a locker room like that, those personalities start to just get infested. And then they can't. Then it turns into a competition of who's more positive, who's fake. And then you see the fractures that create in there. There's no way to keep those things together for so long with the power and the egos and the ultimate alpha male mentality in those locker rooms.
Well, it is the most crucial thing to success in football, especially, is that your leader has to be cut from the same cloth as your head coach, right? Your on-field leader.
Absolutely.
And you have that with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. And if you want to have long and sustained success, you've got to have that because mm-hmm. the messaging mm-hmm. is key.
Yep.
You can correct me if I'm wrong here in that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, it is do whatever it takes to win.
Whatever.
That is the one singular thing that they do. For Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, it's different.
Yep.
It's rah, rah, everything's positive. Positivity will get us through any rough times, right?
But the path is the same.
And everybody else is expendable exactly. on that path.
The path is the same because now you have your leadership council, which Coach Belichick had his core guys, his leadership council. His guy on defense was Teddy Bruschi. That was his leadership council there. It was also Willie McGinnis, and this is during the time that I was there. And then it was Tom Brady on offense, and it was Troy Brown. Those were the guys that fell in line with how he wants the team communication to go from him. This is same thing with Pete Carroll. Falls right to Russell Wilson because those two are two peas in the pod, and they understand this is the philosophy I have to build in. I know all of you out there that are listening have leaders at your work that some of them can be a rah-rah person. Hey, guys, happy to be here every single day. Mm-hmm. You'll take on the attitude of your leadership. Like it or not, some people will not fall under that leadership quality. They will not like it. They will cancer. They will drive a rift between because they can't follow that.
Yeah,
that's what Pete Carroll is now purging. They are purging the Seahawks to now get rid of the front runners and take away, you know, the quality of the talent is always going to outnumber personality. Does that make sense? Like yes. If I have a lot of talent and I can do that, but short term. The NFL is short term. It's 2 to 3 years of talent will not be sustainable for long periods of time, which what's a fair number of years in the NFL to be sustainable? Gosh, if you can make it out of 4, that's pretty impressive.
Pete Carroll, it feels fresh and wide open. It's more of an open competition for some spots, and that's a really good thing for us because it does feed into the whole approach. The whole approach comes down to exactly what you're talking about with that leadership quality. With everything that, you know, Pete Carroll has said and Earl Thomas has said, doesn't it feel like the final piece of the Legion of Boom may be on the way out as well?
Yeah. And it was a fresh start. It was a new start from the coaching staff to the offensive coordinator to the defensive coordinator to the players to the old guard. You have to be willing to cut bait.
Yeah.
And Coach Carroll did.
Hey, I got some for y'all. Y'all's out there. We got a prize bribe coming up next.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
249-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think that was weird and desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That is the Fan text line. But we have a phone number too, 503-250-1080. And if you are caller number 4 at 503-250-1080, you can win a 4-pack of tickets to Mecum Portland. Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Oregon for Mecum Portland 2018, June 22nd through the 23rd at the Portland Expo Center. That would be next weekend, not this weekend. But the following weekend, an estimated 600 American muscle cars, Corvettes, classics, hot rods, resto mods, and more across the auction block. Bidder registration and general admission tickets available at Mecum.com. That is Mecum, Mecum.com. Caller number 4, 503-250-1080. You are getting a 4-pack of tickets to Mecum Portland 2018. All right.
Set the stage.
All right.
Set the stage.
Every great dynasty comes to an end.
Put some mood lighting on.
We know this.
Yeah.
The Chicago Bulls, their dynasty came to an end when Michael Jordan decided to hang it up for the second time, and they stopped winning championships over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. We've seen rifts between teammates like Shaq and Kobe bust apart the Lakers after winning 3 straight NBA titles. We are entering a brave new world, though, of the way that dynasties end. Has greed turned sports into individual brands? And could it be the way that we see our next sports dynasties end? Whether you want to take the New England Patriots or you want to take the Golden State Warriors, could money be the one that takes down our next great dynasty in sports?
So I said this yesterday, and we were mentioning that, gosh, it was really frustrating if you're a Golden State Warrior fan, as the team fan, that the first thing we're talking about and the biggest narrative coming out of the NBA right now is, where's LeBron going to go?
Mm-hmm.
Where's LeBron's kid going to go? Because that'll tell us where he's going to go. Who's going to recruit LeBron? Who's in the LeBron sweepstakes? Nothing. Crickets, really. We're going to talk about the Golden State Warriors and their celebration. and Jordan Bell's Hennessy Parade.
Loved it.
But where's the team? No, we're going to talk about individuals. Draymond Green's going to come out immediately and say, I need to get mine. I gave up $12 million to make sure Kevin Durant showed up in the Hampton Five. Kevin Durant says, I'll take a pay cut, but no, I need a supermax deal. But wait a minute. Draymond Green says, I'll need a supermax deal on top of Klay Thompson leaving $80 million on the table to be able to make sure this comes apart.
Yeah.
What do we talk about now when we talk about sports? We talk about individuals. The team concept of how we look at these guys, and we see it. The money is so massive to the point where Julio Jones is going to hold out because it's not enough from his team, because Matt Ryan just got $140-some million. Then we're going to talk about and see Jimmy Garoppolo get all that money. Derek Carr get all that money. Sorry, David Carr. Derek, those D's get me messed up.
David is his brother.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
All that money is about individuals. We get to see now Aaron Rodgers is going to be the highest paid quarterback in the league because he wants to be the highest paid quarterback in his division. And we talk about the individuals. The team concept is how I look at this, is it now we don't even care about the team anymore. That's not fun to talk about. What's interesting is the individuals and the individual brand. It is
when we look at the fact that how dynasties end up coming apart. It used to be, you know, like I said, Jordan, you know, Kobe and Shaq, their egos just couldn't coexist together for long enough. Back in the 50s and 60s, when the Boston Celtics won 11 titles over a 13-year run, it wasn't money that brought them apart. And that is kind of where the new world is going to be headed here. When you look at that Golden State Warriors team and you take into consideration that back in 2015, when Draymond Green left that $12 million on the table, one thing that he said, which is really interesting, he said, I took less so we could get KD. I'm a student of the game, and I studied the business side of it and the numbers, where some people don't. They leave it up to their agent just to do it, and I didn't. He said, the money's not changing my neighborhood. It's probably $6 million after taxes and fees. That's not changing my neighborhood, but championships can. Mm-hmm. Championships can change my life. That is a direct quote from Draymond Green just 3 years ago when he's talking about why he took less money to go and get Kevin Durant. What has changed for Draymond Green in those 3 years?
Yeah.
He's won two NBA championships mm-hmm. in those three seasons. And now he's looking at it saying, I'm not going to take a hometown discount for mm-hmm. The Golden State Warriors. This is the first time, because when you look at all those other dynasties that came to an end, every dynasty we've had in professional sports up until now, it's come down to money.
Yeah.
Or no, everyone up to now has been retirement or ego getting in the way. Now, dynasties are going to start stopping because you can't pay guys enough money to do it.
And this is the difficulty now of where I view it from the outside looking in. I'm on the side of athletes getting as much as they can because their brands are so high and they're so valuable. I mean, LeBron James is a $1 billion brand, mm-hmm. but he's in a team sport. And the other side of me goes, I would have been able to do none of this without the support of the people around me. Okay, I'm not in an individual sport. I'm not in the sport where I can go out and practice by myself all the time. I need my teammates around me. I need the coaching staff. I need the training staff. I need all these people around me to help get together and win a title and become a dynasty. Mm-hmm. And then you go, okay, when is enough enough? I ask you that question, Dusty. I ask anybody that's out there. Once you make $50, $100, $200, $300 million, when is it enough? When do you say, man, I sure would like to be part of the team? Because last time I checked, I can't take anything with me, correct? I can't. There's no way. You want to be buried with your money? That's fine. That's your choice. If you think money is the happiness of it, that's another thing. That's up to your own interpretation. I don't. The legacy of being part of a team, my best memories of an athlete is being with my teammates, not my individual success.
Yeah. And that's an interesting point there. And this is where it all comes down to, do you blame these guys for getting what they want at that time, though? Because, I mean, you're sitting there and you have that perspective, but you always say, I don't blame that guy for going out and getting it.
I'm not trying to contradict myself. I'm saying the ownership, us as fans, the Twitter wars, the revenue that we pay, the money that we do, and we pay our television, our subscribers, mm-hmm. what we pay to go to the Moda Center has all built this, how we enamor these guys and how we use them and put them up on a pedestal has given them this platform. And all of them have a political platform, a branding platform, a shoe platform, whatever you want to say. They're no longer an athlete. They're everything to however you want to look at it. You make your kids idolize them. That's a you choice. But where's the team? Do you idolize the team or do you idolize the player? I mean, do you go around saying Golden State Warrior shot or do you say Steph Curry 3 with your trigger?
Yeah.
I mean, you ask yourself that.
Okay. I'm going to throw this at you really quick. I'm going to tell you something. You know how many times LeBron James has been the highest paid player in the NBA?
Off the top of my head, I don't.
Take a guess. I mean, what would you guess?
He's in his 14th season.
Yeah. How many times LeBron has been the highest paid player in the NBA?
I'm going to say 6.
LeBron James has been the highest paid player in the NBA one time.
Wow.
Over his career.
Yeah.
We sit there and we criticize LeBron. LeBron gets a ton of criticism for how much, you know, you're the best player in the world. You're supposed to carry your team. He has been the highest paid player one time in his career. And I'm looking at the list right now. He has not even been in the top 5 of the highest paid players in the NBA 6 times over his career.
Mm-hmm.
Not even the top 5 highest paid player in any individual year, 6 times over his career. And this, so when you hear that, do you blame LeBron James for wanting to jump from Cleveland to Miami, go back to Cleveland, and wherever his next stop may be, if the guy has gone the unselfish route to this point and been the best player in the world and still not be the highest paid player or even a top 5 guy?
Well, if we're just basing it upon financial reasons, no. Not at all.
55305. That is a fan text line. Your feedback on this, the individualism in sports, is it going to be the end of dynasties having any longer run than what we have with the Golden State Warriors, which is 4 years? Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, 55305, the individualism. We're talking about guys jumping around, keeping dynasties together. Draymond Green says he's not giving the Warriors a hometown discount. And there is a lot of news and a lot of talk about why he wouldn't sign an extension this offseason. He and Kyrie Irving can make more money if they wait till next offseason. So it makes sense. And a lot of people are making ado about nothing about these extensions happening right now. But Draymond has made it clear, come next offseason, he will not be getting or giving the Warriors any sort of discount. We were talking about this before the break. LeBron James gets a ton of criticism. He's been the highest paid player in the NBA one time in his career. He's been one of the top 5 highest paid players in the NBA just 3 times. And he's been in the top 10 of the highest paid players in his career only 6 of his 14 years in the NBA. The top 10 highest, best player in the world, right?
Yeah.
And this text kind of sums it up. And it says, I just still don't feel that bad for LeBron James. He still's making bank on endorsements. And here's where...
Well, I guess that's not the point. I mean, we're...
But that is what a lot of people say, is that LeBron James doesn't need a big salary because he makes a ton of money off of endorsements, right? Steph Curry's set to make $37 million next year from the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
He will make $80 million in endorsements next year.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah. So we sit there and we say, well, don't feel bad for LeBron. He's just jumping around chasing rings. Isn't that what the goal is? Is to win championships?
Certainly.
And chase that pursuit of winning the Larry O'Brien Trophy?
I think you always want a chance. And this text says, I've always said it all along, rather have rings than money.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I mean, it's a hard mindset in today because the exorbitant amount of money that is in sports. And we talk about it all the time. And then the first thing out of everyone's mouth when on our text line, it lights up, is that these athletes, I'm not going to feel one bit tired. We know that about you. We know that it's not realistic. To compare yourself to a pro athlete is not what we're trying to get across.
Yeah.
We're trying to compare to you. Think of it this way. Take the money out of it. Just try to mentally remove the financial means and say, do you want to be part of a team in the dynasty of winning the rings? Or do you want to be a part of the LeVar Ball family and stand there and say, look at me and my brand?
Right.
Ask yourself that. Apples to apples. because the reward, I've always felt like this, is that I've got more reward out of my life from the team atmosphere than I ever have from the individual thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like the individual stuff has been more negative than the positivity of the team. It's hard, though. It's hard to be in a group of people and just say, this is our group. We'll stay with this. Because there's always going to be the Backstreet Boys where one guy steps off and becomes the star.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake. I mean, and then everyone's going, oh, where's mine? And then Draymond Green goes, well, where's mine? And Kevin Durant goes, where's mine? And the Backstreet Boys end up breaking up.
See, and this text says, don't you have to blame Michael Jordan and Nike for greatly contributing to the rise of the individual brand in the NBA? It's not like players just decided to do this. Absolutely. Yeah. No, they did. They, yeah. Nike.
Yeah.
Adidas, Under yeah. Armour, who's given Steph Curry $45 million a year or whatever it is,
right.
You know, to hawk their brand.
Dame Lillard's got $150 million here in Portland.
With Adidas.
For Adidas, $150.
Yeah. And it absolutely did. But where you don't see that is LeBron James does something unique that Michael Jordan didn't do. And remember when Michael Jordan made $20 million playing for the Bulls, you know, and he ate up a bunch of their salary cap? What is different here with what LeBron James is doing is he's taking that money, and what should happen is that these endorsement deals that are massive should allow these players enough padding to say, I can go the Klay Thompson route. Mm-hmm. I make a comfortable living. I live in a great city, and I win a lot of basketball games, so I'm okay with taking less money. And the individuality of it all is kind of lost in that. Michael Jordan, what was his ultimate goal? Is to rip your heart out and win.
Yeah.
No matter what. So his the endorsements made it so these guys sit there and say, I want more, I can get mine and get my endorsement money. But what Michael Jordan did and what LeBron James does and very few others do is they sit back and they take a little bit less from the team because they know they're getting that money in the back end. It should be the other way around, but it isn't, right?
Do you, if I asked you this question, Dusty, would you feel validated if someone offered you X amount of money or a championship and said, you have a chance right now? Are you validated as a person or an athlete when you win a championship or when you get a contract?
Individually, you get validated through the contract, and that's what these guys do.
But I know, yeah. I know. But this here's the caveat here. Do you internally, do you feel validated once you're part of the team win and the championship? And you can say, I've won it. I don't care if it's your Little League championship, if your Pop Warner championship, your state, your AAU. Do you feel better once you've scored 40 or your team won a championship?
And team win a championship.
Okay.
Team win a championship.
And that's a personality for you.
Instead of scoring 40, like winning a championship would be way better.
But I will argue there is more notoriety now being given to somebody individually than there ever is for a team. Across the board in all our sports when we watch it now.
Mm-hmm.
So from the top level all the way down to the youngest kids. Is that... The team thought process is losing. We're disconnecting. Now, I could be stretching it, but I'm telling you, it just the disconnect now of where we are and how we value what we're really doing out there.
And that is why I look at LeBron James, and I look at until this point, and really until Draymond Green gets his extension, what the Golden State Warriors have done, right? Or when Kevin Durant, apparently he can slide over whatever money he wants and the Warriors are going to say okay and give a thumbs up to it. But to this point, what the Warriors have done, what LeBron did down in Miami, mm-hmm. and what LeBron has done since returning to Cleveland, is you sit there and you look at it and you go, they're taking less to win. And that's the ultimate goal. That's why we play sports, right, is to win. And the Warriors are easy to hate for a litany of reasons. That isn't one of them because they have had their eye on the prize of we want to win a championship.
You know what's a crazy idea? And I've thought about this in the last, I don't know, couple years. What if you created a winning salary cap?
So the more you win, the more money you can spend?
Correct. What if you created a team incentive instead of an individual incentive? And say you're the Portland Trail Blazers and you've just got the third seed in the regular season. You got an extra $10 million this year to use for your team incentive to be able to bump your salary cap up without penalty. Where we've now developed success is that if we play great as a team, the league incentivizes you to keep that group together. Instead of individually, you get a little bit more revenue bump and reward your team for the success. Because right now, everybody's at the same level individually. And it depends on how deep your pockets of your owner is. But if you had some sort of ability to bump based upon team success, would that be a bad thing in the end?
I think you may be actually be onto something there.
And you know what else, Cam? I think you could have just solved tanking as well. Because if there's a monetary incentive for guys to not suck.
No, I don't think you would solve tanking for this reason. You could still have teams develop and grow because rookie contracts are what teams that tank do, right?
Mm. Yes.
And you can still build a core for your team and for your roster with having young guys in there, right? And for that 4 or 5 year stretch, it doesn't, because what the 76ers did this year is they spent $21 million on JJ Redick because they were like, we've got to spend it somewhere.
Salary cap floor. They had to get to it.
They had to get to the floor. Their sucking was to get young guys on small contracts. But if you were to benefit those teams in basketball purgatory, say the Portland Trailblazers, who you're not close enough to get over that hump, but you want to pay, you have to pay your guys to keep them there, like Dame and CJ. If you incentivize them for getting that 3 seed and getting to the NBA playoffs,
it makes
the
regular season more valuable in a sense. Is that
that's huge.
If I get the 8th, 7th seed, maybe the 8th seed gets $10 million and the 1 seed gets $25 million and everything else falls within there. I mean, I'm just throwing out arbitrary numbers, but I think if sports needs to get a grip on the individual, stop punishing the individual stop rewarding just the individual and reward the value of the team by incentivizing the team, not the individual.
Yeah. This text says, isn't Cam describing the bird exception? No. The bird rights are you draft a player and you can keep him by going over the salary cap just to keep him, but you have to draft him. Mm-hmm. What Cam is proposing is an idea where you could go out and spend more in free agency, or if you draft, like the Warriors did, say 3 guys and organically grow it, and you can still keep winning. This text says, people will complain about what Golden State has already done. Do this, and they can just keep paying for better players. Golden State can now afford LeBron and Kawhi. Now, here's the thing, is that those teams, the super teams, they're going to keep growing no matter what.
Yeah.
Right? And
that's,
Houston would be rewarded. Toronto would be rewarded. Yeah. Portland could go out and could offer a max deal as well. And you could have a hard cap on it. Like, say, Golden State, you can't earn your way up to $500 million salary cap.
But we could do this in every sport. It doesn't have to be in just basketball. You could do it in football. You could do it in every ability. Is that if you're starting, you just have a baseline cap number, and that moves every single year. But there is fluctuation in how you win and incentivize your team as a team. I mean, I am exhausted of the individual incentives.
And also, you can go down this line. Every team wouldn't be willing to spend because the salary cap is based on league revenues. And at some point, if you were to have $200 million to spend, it would be at the point where, well, our team doesn't make $200 million, so we won't spend it.
Right. So there's still a business strategy built into this system. It just maybe keeps the old adage of team does matter.
One of the smartest things you've ever said on this show, this texture says.
Oh, well.
That makes one thing.
That's a high point for me.
All right, 55305. I like that idea a lot, though. That's a pretty good idea. And you don't crush the teams that lose. You just reward the ones that win, right?
Very fair.
Bingo. All right, the hottest sports stories in the day and coming up next hour, Slash Jackson may be coming to you. Is the NCAA doing the right thing? And Tiger Tiger Woods, y'all, is on a boat. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.